morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm deaf. I think you need to turn my ears up a
louder.
Little bit.
I got to adjust your... I have to always adjust it back when you leave.
I know. I really do have a hard time hearing, but you're so
kind. Is that better?
That's much better.
There you go.
I'm doing great. Gosh, I've missed you.
I know. It's been like once a month now. You're popping in here.
I'm on the road again.
Man, and, it's not easy being you.
About ready to slow down, though. Mm-hmm. You know, all this glamorous travel to Alabama,
exactly, South Georgia. Mm. You're seeing the world.
Yes, I'm definitely seeing the world. But one thing I have to make sure I do, no matter where I am, is find good barbecue.
Wait, we can't start yet. We have to talk about the 101 best and brightest. You almost let that slip away.
I almost did.
That
well,
was close.
We've got some of the best and brightest in Atlanta in the room, but we've got an event coming up. So definitely
right.
Let our listeners know.
Okay, well, it says here that the results are in. The National Association for Business Resources would like to congratulate this year's winners of Atlanta's Best and Brightest Companies to Work For. And they'd like you to join us on June 20th at the Atlanta Marriott Century Center as we reveal the top three businesses of 2011.
I'm on the board, and they have it.
So you already know the winner?
No, they won't let us know until that day, so I'm dying.
So you got to go to the website, www.101bestandbrightest.com/winners/2011/Atlanta. It's
wow.
That simple. We'll post this on our website. But you should definitely check it out. You're going to be there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a great event. And it's interesting. I know who the nominees are and have really looked thoroughly through the process. And it's going to be interesting to see who wins. Some really interesting companies.
Right.
And we're going to be interviewing some of them on June 1st. So stay
cool.
Tuned for that. Yeah. But back to the barbecue.
Back to the reality here.
Back to the good stuff, the barbecue. I think it's still National Barbecue Month. Am I correct?
Is that a real thing?
It's absolutely a real thing. Come on,
really?
Lee.
I did not know.
Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Brett of Moe's Original Barbecue. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So it is National Barbecue Month, am I right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And I only know that because I love barbecue. Tell me what's special about Moe's.
I would say the thing that separates us from most everyday barbecue is the way we prepare our meats. We don't over sauce them. We're very proud of the way that we smoke them. So when we serve our pork, we don't over sauce. We like to show the meat off and let the customer taste the flavor of the smoke. And then you add your sauce as you please.
And how long does it get smoked?
We smoke it for anywhere from 4 to 6 hours every morning and every evening. And then we'll cook it in an oven for around 8 hours after that.
Interesting. So do you how do you get the crispiness on the top? Is that after you smoke it?
It gets a little crispy in the smoker for sure. And then it's just, that's another thing that separates us. Most of other barbecue restaurants will take a blade and just hatch it and chop it up. A lot of times when they do that, they're hiding the quality of the meat. Okay. We actually pull our pork with gloves in our hands, so you're getting this, it holds the moistness, and you're getting to see each piece of the meat that you're pulling a little bit better.
Do you use any kind of wood chips?
We don't.
So
we use a red or a white oak, whichever is more available to us here in Georgia.
Well, so you do. I mean, it probably has a very good oaky flavor then.
Absolutely. Mm.
My mouth is watering.
How do you know all about this?
I'm a barbecue enthusiast.
I can see that.
I'm a big green
egg. These
are
very specific questions.
It's kind of a cult. And then we could have a whole show just on the sauce, but when you talk about the meat, I mean, that is true barbecue when you
So you put the meat in with no sauce or minimal sauce?
We use a rub.
A rub.
We'll rub it. And then we'll smoke it.
Right. For
and then
hours.
For hours. And when we bring it out of the smoker, then we'll sit it in an oven for or anywhere and let it continue to cook.
But still not a lot of sauce.
No.
The sauce is the customer. That is
totally on you.
All right.
Our sauce is a tomato base, which we consider Alabama style, as a matter of fact.
So what are the different styles? Are there like 20 styles?
There's Kansas City, St. Louis, North Carolina, those are going to be
your
most popular.
And the sauces are determine the style?
Yeah, usually. For example, North Carolina uses a vinegar base.
Right. And some use a mustard base, and some tomato, and some are spicy. Yeah, you got to come to my house for a barbecue. Or maybe we should go to Moe's. So tell us about the Moe's concept. How did it start?
It started actually in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Mm-hmm.
So you're not affiliated with that bar on The Simpsons?
No, not at all.
No,
sir.
Okay.
Actually, some friends of mine from college graduated from the University of Alabama. And when they graduated, they moved out to the mountains in Vail, Colorado. And they started selling barbecue out of a strip mall off of a smoker.
So they were just making it on their own out of their back of their car?
Regular old ski bums. Wow. Just went out and skied for a season. And the concept took off so well that they eventually started a franchise, the first one in Vail, Colorado, which is located in Lion's Head.
Wow. It's still there?
Mm-hmm. And it's been there for 18 years now. So when you come off the mountain from skiing, you walk into a festive atmosphere with high-quality food, barbecue.
Right.
And from there, they opened up in Eagle, Colorado, which is around 30 minutes west of Vail. And then from there, in the last 5 years, we have over 19 franchises now.
And why did you decide to go into the franchise business rather than start something on your own?
It's pure gratification.
Yeah.
From the time that the customer walks into the restaurant and their dining experience, when they leave and they walk out the door and they tell you that's some of the best barbecue or the best barbecue I've had, and I hear it 5 or 6 times a day, it's very gratifying, but much more gratifying than trying to compare sales prices to a physician as a pharmaceutical rep. So,
is that what you used to do?
I did. I did it for about 5 to 7 years.
So you could have picked any franchise, right, when you decided to go franchise, or you fell in love with this kind of concept?
The food is, it's the best barbecue.
So you tried it just randomly and then liked it, and you said, you know what, I want more of this?
I met those guys out in Vail after skiing. I left a job selling pharmaceuticals, moved out there and skied for a season and worked for them, came home and decided that this is what I wanted to do. And I've been looking for the right place ever since. In the beginning, we thought that it would be a vacation kind of place, the same concept in Vail. So we were looking down in Destin, Florida, or more towards the Panhandle.
Right.
And then when we started to think about it, we were living here at the time. Why? This is the perfect place for it. There's, you know, over 4 million people in the city and somewhat limited on the barbecue that you can eat here in town.
And what do you have, live music? What makes it unique?
We do. You know, Wednesdays we have patio parties, which just started. So they're drink specials all day today. We do live music on Saturdays, selective Saturdays right now until we find someone to help us with the music right out in the beginning. And then on Thursday nights, we do adult trivia, which is sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And we're so the adults really enjoy it. And then, you know, we're located on 14th Street right off of Georgia Tech's campus. So we get quite a few of the Georgia Tech kids to come in. And it's a real festive place. We have a full premium bar that seats 25 people. We also have 7 HD TVs for all sporting events. It's a very, very great atmosphere that we're really proud of.
How long has it been there?
Going into our third month.
I was going to say, it's got to be pretty
new.
Because I usually sniff out the barbecue in Atlanta, and this was new to me. So when the publicist sent it, so of course I'm like, barbecue.
So what's the go-to thing there? Is it the ribs? Is it the pulled pork?
The pulled pork platter.
That's all right.
Now, if it's your first time, I highly suggest that you come in and try the pulled pork. You know, if you talk to my repeat customers that come in 2 or 3 times a week, they can't get enough of the wings. I would put our wings up against.
Really?
We smoke our wings.
Smoked wings.
But then we drop them in the fryer, and then we use our homemade wing sauce, which is not overly hot. It's just a homemade wing sauce. We can heat it up for you if that's what you want us to do.
So do you have vegetables on the menu and lots of good stuff?
Okra?
Okra? Every day.
Okay.
We'll do 6 special sides. For example, today would be fried okra, skillet corn, collard greens, sweet potato casserole, broccoli and cheese casserole, and then we'll do 2 desserts a day. Every day is Betsy's banana pudding And then today would be coconut cream pie. Okay. And these are all recipes that are handed down from our nannies, our grandmothers, and our mothers.
Wow. That's great. I can't wait. I'm going, Lee.
You're going?
Yeah.
Your lunch plan? Changing the plan?
No, I've got another lunch today, but maybe over the weekend. Maybe we should go.
That's a good weekend place. Now, you do catering too, right? Not just in the restaurant?
We'll cater anything from 15 people to 500 people. There's several different ways we can do it. You can pick it up, we can drop it off, or we can come give you full service, however the customer would like.
Are you showing up now at festivals and the farmers markets?
You know, we
popping
did our,
around you doing that?
We did our first festival at Chastain about 2 weeks ago.
I saw you there. I was there. That was a great festival.
Yeah.
You were packed.
We did. When we cleaned up award-wise, too. We got Judge's Best Ribs, second place Judge's Sauce, second place People's Choice Sauce, second place People's Chicken. Yeah. So it was very – it's another one of those gratifying moments.
Yeah, that was a great festival. Did you go to that? Arts Festival.
I didn't. I think I was out of town.
It's good stuff.
Gosh, thanks for being with us today, Brett. Incredible information about barbecue, and near and dear to my heart. I'll make sure I check out Moe's. Give us the location one more time.
It's located the address is 349 14th Street, and that's right one block away from Atlantic Station, right off of Georgia Tech's campus.
Excellent. I'm there.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Brett. So, Lee, if you pull up some morning in front of the radio station in this high-rise and you see me out in front with my smoker, you think they'll kick me out?
No, they'll encourage it.
They may. There's probably room for a smoker down on that patio.
You think?
By the bistro. Always thinking here. Always thinking. I know our next guest is always thinking. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Bill Doyle, who's the president and CEO of Vistar. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here again.
Anxious to hear about Vistar Corporation, a little bit different from barbecue, I understand.
I don't know that I want to follow him.
I think they're connected.
They could be if the barbecue is ecstasy, actually, probably there could be some sort of a connection there, I would imagine. We're a multi-patented process that takes the allergenic proteins away from natural rubber latex.
Oh, my goodness.
So for the people that have those allergies or a propensity for a problem with latex, by removing these proteins, we've taken away the exposure to what their allergies are.
How do you find out you're allergic to latex? Is that usually pretty early in life? Because it's
everywhere. Or when it's too late.
It's usually when it's too late.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty bad because people can be in a dentist chair and not know that anything's going on, and the next thing you know, the dentist is calling 911.
Oh, wow.
So it could be a big problem.
Right.
There are tests, and some people have just irritations with a condom or a glove or something, or a pillow or elastic threads. Those are all latex.
Okay.
And just, there's a problem.
Right.
But then if they really have the bad problem, they would go in and they'd get tested to know that they're actually allergic, not just to the chemicals that are used to create the end product, but it's actually the proteins that are in it.
Now, does that show up on those little pokey tests that the allergists give you?
Only if it's specified. Only,
it's
rare.
Right? Yeah.
It's very, very rare. But when we started, what we wanted to do was start looking at anybody that's got an allergy and what we could do along those lines. And what we realized was latex is the greenest raw material that's out there for any of these dipped goods or any of these products. I'm hoping when he said it's pulled pork is coming with gloves that he's using a latex glove. But in order to take away all of the petroleum byproducts and not have all this allergy risk, developing the allergy risk there, we went out and we found a way to make latex better.
Okay, so how in the world do you do that? Brett's talking about his story, and he's skiing, and there's a smoker and buddies, and there's barbecue, and I'm like, all right, that's a passion. I get that. I understand how you ended up where you are.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. How did you come about this concept and get into
skiing.
The business?
He was skiing.
Yeah, not on your life was it a passion to figure out how to take proteins away from latex. My business partner's a Georgia Tech master's in chemical engineering.
Okay.
And he had been challenged by one of his friends whose daughter was a nurse who had a problem and couldn't wear gloves anymore. And this was even way before nitrile gloves were
out there. And that could be like a career ender, right?
Oh, it is a career ender. As a matter of fact, for even some of our early investors who were surgeons, they use neoprene gloves, and they would really prefer to just use latex gloves
right,
again.
But they can't because of their allergy.
That's correct, and some hospital policies and all that, and we're working our way now into the surgical glove business. We're not there yet, so we'll just stay tuned when it comes right. to that aspect of it.
That's
but
huge.
Anyway,
I mean, that's a huge, huge market. That's massive.
The United States goes through 60 billion exam gloves every year.
Oh, I believe it.
B. 60 wow. billion wow. exam gloves every single year. And then surgical gloves are another billion on top of that.
Man.
Wow.
So he's a tinkerer. He figured out that it wasn't really just a latex issue. It was a protein issue. And then he figured out a way to capture the proteins and in the normal processing of latex, remove them.
And then he got it patented.
Got it patented, and then he called me because we had worked together in the past in previous companies, and my background is sales and marketing. As a matter of fact, I'm another former drug rep, like our previous guest.
That's what everybody in the room is.
Yeah.
It's
pretty good.
Funny.
It's good training.
I used to sell allergy testing, ImmunoCap, specific
really?
IgE allergy test, yeah.
For latex?
Well, yeah, you could test for
because it
latex.
Is an IgE problem.
It is. It is an IgE problem. But I think what people don't understand when it comes to allergies is that there's just one little test and you can figure out what you're allergic to. But you have to test for the specific IgE.
Right.
So you have to test for or have an inkling that you might be allergic to something. Otherwise, I mean, there's thousands of things you can be allergic to.
So when they do those tests, they like draw a circle and poke you like 100 times or something?
Not the one I was affiliated with. But there are.
No, it's there are kind of, I mean, more this like is, just a scratch.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Right.
Yeah.
But even with the test going on, we have two clinical studies that we're working on, one at Emory and one at the Medical College of Georgia. And one is a serum study and one is a skin study.
Mm-hmm.
So one deals with a finished good,
right.
like what you'd be exposed to.
Right, in real life.
And then
life.
The other one deals with the raw material.
Right.
But, I mean, these allergies, they're all across the board and there are reactions. I mean, your pillows or your mattresses. I mean, right now I've got a shipment coming in of pure Vitex pillows, beautiful pillows that we'll be passing out to our shareholders at our annual meeting and getting some feedback before we start to look at launching something like that. And then there's already a 510K issued by the FDA for a condom that's made with my product, which is called Vitex.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also an exam glove the same way, and then there are ongoing trials manufacturing-wise for lots of other things. It's latex is all around us.
Right.
I mean, you're never going to be latex-free.
Right. But this solves this takes the allergy component off the table, though.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it isn't something that we would go out there and claim just based on what FDA requirements are.
Right.
But if you're not being exposed to the proteins, more than likely the chances are you're not going to develop the allergy because it's acquired.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may be inherent, but as you actually develop the true aspects of the allergy, it's with repeated exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And who has more repeated exposure than surgeons and nurses who are using 75 gloves a day or
right.
a surgeon who's got them on for 4 hours?
Right. And what makes the product green?
It's natural. It comes out of a tree. I mean, all the rubber tires that are out there, the natural rubber tires, you cannot land an airplane on anything but a full rubber tire. All of this comes out of a tree. Trees are located 25 degrees on either side of the equator. When they're done with the tree, takes 7 years to mature. You tap it for 25 years. You cut it down. You use it for furniture. You put another tree up in its place. So it is not coming up out of some well in the Gulf of Mexico.
So how does the petroleum get in there?
Petroleum's not there. That's the competitor.
Oh, that's what the competitor uses, the petroleum rather than...
Yeah, if you're using a natural rubber latex glove,
right.
you're using either Vitex, my product, or natural rubber latex that right. hasn't been deprotonized. And if you're using a different type of glove, it is based off of petroleum.
Oh.
So we've talked about gloves
so it makes
and
us
pillows.
Green.
What other products?
Threads, any elastic threads,
mm-hmm.
adhesives. So on a Band-Aid or a Post-it note, foams. We've got insoles as well as now pillows. We're looking at mattresses. The other type of adhesive is foam to foam as well as what's on a Band-Aid. It's all around us.
Unbelievable. And you work in other countries too, right?
We do. As a matter of fact, the vast majority, there isn't a glove that's produced in the United States anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So it's all in Malaysia
wow.
and Thailand mainly, and then some into China. But even if you look at catheters, They're coming out of Malaysia, and they're coming out of China, and they're coming out of Thailand. So basically what the American manufacturers did was they moved their operations to right where the latex was grown. Why ship twice?
Mm-hmm.
So they just decided that was the better way to go. So we have operations in Guatemala, India, Thailand, and Malaysia.
And what kind of plans do you have for growing the company?
Big.
Yeah? I mean, where do you start with that? Because it's kind of in its infancy, it sounds like.
It is.
Are you starting medical?
Well, with the 510Ks, we have business along those lines. But, I mean, right now our biggest business is really in the adhesive industry. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very good adhesive.
Right. So they were quick to adopt this?
They were. They were. But they also saw that it dries quicker so that when you're trying to take a piece of foam to a piece of foam or furniture foam to a mat or to a frame, it's instantaneous drying and yet it's got a great tack to it so it adheres and it stays.
Where in the world do you come up with this stuff? So are you just sitting in a lab just tinkering and playing? And, I mean, who's involved in that whole creation process?
That whole creation process took quite a few years.
Are you saying you don't think Bill's the guy?
I'm not the guy. Trust me. I am not the guy. That degree in science was many, many years ago. It's that entrepreneurial thought process where if this doesn't work, I'm going to try it this way. And if this doesn't work, I'm going to try it this way. And fortunately, we had really good investors in the beginning that were willing to back all this. And it was in a lab. And then it had to be scaled up to a metric ton. Mm-hmm. And then it had to get scaled up to 10 metric tons. And now we're up to a couple hundred metric tons production-wise.
And where are you in the patent process with all these? Each one has to be patent approved. Right?
Well, the process is really just all patent approved. I mean, we use aluminum hydroxide. It's something used in water treatment and purification of a lot of different things. We just figured out a way to be able to introduce that aluminum hydroxide to the liquid latex without ruining it. So that's the patent. We sell the raw material.
Okay.
And then we sell to the manufacturers of these other products.
That make.
And
got it.
Our whole deal
is... So you're the latex provider.
We are. But we're also the marketing provider.
Right.
We make certain that everyone knows who Vitex is, what Vitex does,
and,
how good Vitex is.
So you're protecting that brand because of this patent.
That's correct.
Wow.
Like Intel Inside, right?
That's exactly it. That it's basically Intel Inside. The condom labels have Vitex on the label. The new gloves are going to do the exact same thing. And then there's
so you got to get the word out so the consumer connects that Vitex means it's allergy-free and all green and all that good stuff.
We just got to get it out there to means that with Vitex on the label, they're buying a better product.
Right. It's a better quality product.
Right.
See that? Simple.
It is pretty simple when you say it that way. Bill, you're definitely one of those guests that we want to see in 2 years, just because I can imagine a lot's going to happen.
2 years, probably. I bet you in a quarterly they're seeing huge
I'm
growth.
I'm sure. But we've had some repeat guests, you know, over the last 3 years where someone comes back after a year and it's like, wow, their concept has just exploded. And
well,
we
don't want them to explode.
It
sounds
bad.
Like their business.
With yours is just in its infancy. What are some of the milestones you've seen thus far?
The approval of the patents.
Yeah.
Because the shock to me was the fact that when we got our first patent that talked about the method of doing this, that was nice. But within 4 months, the patent office awarded us the specific chemical that went into this, and I thought, boy, if we could think about this, why isn't someone else?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the major milestone. And then achieving the type of early investment we did, those were other milestones. But I'd say from a pure medical standpoint was the awarding of the 510K, the 510K allowance by the FDA for a condom with specialized labeling based on us, first time ever. And then the awarding of the 510K for an exam glove.
Right. So now are you the ball you keep your eye on is metric tons?
Oh, yeah. Just metric tons. Anything else is just not, but
right?
Metric tons.
The more, the better, right?
And it's even gone beyond that because most of our customers will take a container, which is 21.5 metric tons, mm-hmm. and they'll take multiple of those per month. So I know we just signed Pioneer Balloons, which is North America's biggest balloon manufacturer, and they wanted it because it holds helium better and it takes color better. So they're now up to any number of containers.
You know, here in
month.
Town's a big balloon person.
Yeah, there's some big balloon folks. It's,
you know,
it's
that.
A whole industry.
Well, Pioneer produces the balloons that are probably sold here in town, right?
Well, this lady is one of the leaders in balloons.
We'll have to introduce you to her.
I would
she's
love that introduction.
Guest. Yeah,
that would be great. That would be excellent.
She's called the balloon lady.
Because
yeah.
if
really.
She's the balloon lady, she's using a specialized balloon, which is exactly what Pioneer is using our product for.
Awesome. See, that's
excellent.
Very good. We love to make connections
that's
here.
That's right.
Thanks. Great.
Who would think?
I'm going to go buy some barbecue. And I mean,
you're almost obligated
at this point. I'm happy we made the balloon connection for you, not the condom connection, because, you know, we like to keep it clean here. But that's
Eight Atlanta does a good job with the condoms and all that. So.
What an incredible business and just a great concept. And gosh, you got to always be thinking. But we'll definitely invite you back to see where you are. And gosh, like Lee said, 6 months, I'd love to see what's going on with you, because this is a great success story and amazing how many lives you can change. I mean, think about that. Someone's career could change forever.
When my six-month plan for the next 6 months all is implemented and falls into place, I'd love to talk to you again.
Terrific. Well, thanks for being our guest today, Bill.
Thank you.
Great information. Gosh, Lee,
incredible. A lot of smart people around here.
Smart people, but not, the thing I love is when there are smart people and they do something about it. Because there's so many people, our listeners love to hear stories, and the next story is definitely an inspirational story. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Britt Menzie of Stinky Kids. Welcome.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate it.
So, Stinky Kids, again, you're a mom, you create a concept. How did this come about?
Well, in October of 2005, I was a stay-at-home mom. I still am. I used to work for Coca-Cola before I had kids. But I was just enjoying a regular day with Emma, my daughter, and she had asked me to paint her as a ballerina. We did a lot of arts and crafts. I can tinker a little bit in cartooning. But instead of putting on a piece of paper, I decided to do it on a canvas. And so I painted it, and obviously, she loved it, but also my friends and family liked it, too. And so I started a little, what I say, grocery money hobby business, creating these characters of other kids and selling it to the families. I then showed it to a local retailer here in Atlanta, my paintings, to see if he would display them to get more business. And he loved the characters so much that he wanted to buy the rights to the characters and put them on T-shirts. And so I went home to my husband and I said, you know, I thought about that lawyers going to have to come in and, you know, why should somebody else, you know, have the rights to these characters? So I thought, all right, I'll just start a little T-shirt business from my characters. So I'll never forget the day he said, well, how much money do you think this is going to cost? You know, I said, well, it can't be more than $5,000, whatever. Well, it's a little bit more than that today. But anyway, so we started the T-shirt business, putting the characters on T-shirts. And that was January of 2007. That was when I had to come up with a name for the company, because when I was just doing the paintings, it was just a hobby. So I remembered when my kids were little, I would call them little stinkers. Mm-hmm. And so I had Max and Emma. I had two little stinkers, two stinky kids. So I called the company Stinky Kids. Cute. So Stinky Kids represents the little stinker in all of us. That's what we say.
I love it.
So what I also did at that point in time is my mom owns a charity. She founded a charity in honor of my aunt who died from uterine cancer. And so I thought it would be fun for little stinkers, you know, kids that are being mischief, to also have the idea of giving back and values. So it's kind of, you know, getting the best of both worlds. So we donate a percentage of our profits to her charity, which is Books, Bears, and Bonnets, where we deliver gift boxes to adults and children battling cancer. I also tagged our motto, always be a leader of good, which I used to say to my kids at the playgrounds, that if you see bad behavior, it may look like fun, but if you're a leader of good, good things are going to happen to you, whether you're going to get an extra ice cream or whether you're going to get an extra play date. And so the Stinky Kids from inception donate to the fight against cancer and also teach kids the importance of having fun, celebrating being a kid, but also striving to be a leader of good. So I created the T-shirts, and right away, just from my own, this has all been my own investment, my own passion, my own hard work, I sold over 5,000 T-shirts, and I landed on the Today Show as one of the best hot products to buy for the holiday season. And I'm very strong into branding, and so I landed Nordstrom's as my first major retailer that same year, and this was all in the first year of business.
Wow.
And we landed it. I know your listeners like stories. I landed it because one of my friends was wearing the T-shirt in the store buying a present for her daughter. And one of the sales associates came up and said, I love that T-shirt. Where'd you get it? And she explained the story. And she brought over her manager. And little did I know, I was then talking to the GM of all Nordstrom's within, you know, 24 hours. So
I love it.
Wow, what a great story.
That is a great story. So that was in 2007. You said that he started. So it's
2000. Yes, 2000. Well, it was January 2006. Sorry. Okay. And then so from the T-shirts, because they were selling so well in Nordstrom's and from my own business, Nordstrom's came to me and they said, Britt, our clients love the characters. It's not just a t-shirt company anymore. It's about the characters. Go build their personalities. Go write a book. Go create a doll. And again, you have to remember, I was a stay-at-home mom. Yes, I work for Coca-Cola, but I don't know how to create a doll. I didn't know how to create a t-shirt. You know, this is all just thank goodness for the internet and networking. And I live by the motto of never assume no. So I'm always constantly out there asking people questions. And I don't care who they are or what they do or how high up they are. I ask the questions.
But the Nordstrom people were really instrumental.
They were. They were behind me. I mean, you know.
They were guiding you, really.
They were guiding me, yeah.
Because you would have just been happy selling t-shirts. You wouldn't have thought twice about it unless they really kind of pushed you, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, once I started learning that people were liking the characters and having Nordstrom's as a backing, I kind of, you know, you have a gut feeling. I knew that right. Something was happening. But until, you know, I wasn't going to go ahead and produce a doll without an order. Right. So I knew that Nordstrom's was going to be there for me and to accept this.
And then were they there nationally or was it just the store here?
No, nationally, 110 wow. Nordstrom stores.
So is that how it typically works? That when they like something, they just blow it out in all their stores?
It depends. You know, I was lucky because I was on the Today Show, so that helped a lot.
You were on the Today Show prior to the Nordstrom?
Yes, prior to Nordstrom's. Yeah, it actually happened at the same time. I was busy doing. I was on the Today Show, and then I left, and I ran down to Jacksonville and boxed up, you know, 5,000 t-shirts to right. sell to Nordstrom's. But, you know, like I said, that helped a lot because it got the exposure out there. So they were behind me with the dolls. And again, you know, I had to find somebody in the toy business. I had to, you know, right. I'm going on all my own money.
So Nordstrom's not helping you? Like, hey, this is who we use or
no.
you call these people?
No, they just wanted the doll.
They just said, if you have these dolls, you know, we'll probably buy some.
Exactly. So again, I network all the time. That's one thing I would love for your, you know, listeners to realize when you're starting up a new business is that you need to write down all your friends and family on a piece of paper and then figure out what they do. Because you're not going to realize how many people do things that could seriously help you. Mm-hmm. And it could just be working out at the gym and talking about the fact that you need to start a doll and they'll go, oh, I know this person. You need to talk to them. And then you
don't
act
you find
on
that
it.
To be true? I mean, that people have
it's
no idea.
So true.
Like, they'll, even I bet today they'll ask you, like, what do you do? And they picture you how you were like 20 years ago and they assume you're doing
so
whatever you're doing.
Yeah, you talk about your family or your kids. You don't talk necessarily about exactly what you do. And so I wrote this down. I found out I had a friend that did web design. I had a friend that obviously was in the toy business who worked for Turner. So I called him and, you know, he got me connected with a couple people, but it was really all me dealing with China. Wow. Via internet, never met this person. And luckily I got a hold of a high quality doll company and, we got the dolls in Nordstrom's and at FAO Schwartz in New York. I landed that too. And the dolls sold out, immediately for the holiday season.
And what was the process like? So you get connected with Nordstrom's and then you go about networking, you get all these people together. What was the time frame?
It was about 9 months.
That's really that quickly.
Yeah, nine
I mean,
months.
You
yeah.
actually had the doll in your hand?
I had the doll. I was wow. again, I was lucky. Again, there's a fine line between being persistent and then being a bug. Yeah. I take it to the ultimate extreme before I know I'm a bug, and I'm just persistent and I have this passion. You know, I put a lot of money into this. I had a Nordstrom's account. I'm not going to fail. So I just kept going.
But how did you deal with the quality control dealing with China? I've heard horror stories back and forth that, you know, that's a...
Well, again, luckily I went to
you
a toy
the
company.
Right place first?
Yeah, I got a lot of people behind this that knew I had the next big thing. And I was lucky to get with quality. The first company I was with, I wasn't satisfied. But then I went to another company. And
so you had to pull the plug from one of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you went through that. What was that like when you've picked the first place and then you sent them your design, I guess, and then they sent you back something you weren't pleased with?
Basically,
it doesn't happen overnight, right? They go back and forth, takes forever.
Well, the internet, again, is a great tool because you could send pictures, you know, and being a mom and having a daughter, I know what kind of dolls that I'm looking for.
Right.
And I had my characters drawn,
right.
So I knew what it wanted to look
so
like.
So it was the look that was the problem, not the texture or the feel?
Well, first it was the look, and then I said, send me a sample, and then it was the feel. And again, luckily, a lot of this is hard work, but there's a little luck involved too to get to the success level that certain people can get to. But Luckily, I had someone look at it and say, a little bit of this is dangerous. You know, you don't want to do this. You know, there were like beans in the heads, and if a kid could pop it, you know, right. the beans would get over everywhere. So, so I was then transferred to it to another company.
So you said no thanks. So that must have been a little tricky, right, to get out of your arrangement with them, or you didn't have a contract?
No, there's no contract. No. I have not entered into one contract to date, except where I'm at right now, which is a fully licensed brand, and so I have a lot of licensees now.
Right.
But no, I didn't have a contract. This, you know, people are, you know, wanting to get involved in something that they think is going to be big, and so it's part of their business model to, you know, expense, you know, samples and do what they have to do.
So
how many different characters?
I have 10 different characters. Okay. All the characters are named after someone in my friends and family. There's Stinky Kid Britt, who's the redhead. Mm-hmm. I've never dyed my hair, so I decided to do that. there's Max, who's my son, and there's a whole string of different people in my friends and family that I named them after. This is Julie, who's my niece. All of the products that I do, they come with a trading card and a bookmark. That was another thing that Nordstrom suggested, is that you want an emotional attachment to these characters, so you want to bring a personality. So all of the characters in the back of the trading cards tell what their leader of good quality, like Stinky Kid Julie, she's creating unity with others and friendship. And then it goes through hobbies, favorite colors, favorite foods, what do you want to be when you grow up? And all of this was written by my kids.
I
wanted kids to really have an emotional attachment. So one of the kids, I think it's Julie, she likes green beans with ketchup. And I may have liked that when I was a kid, but I certainly don't like it now. So it took my kids to come up with this kind of stuff.
Green beans with ketchup.
Right. And it also comes with a matching bookmark. And so the bookmark shows you all of the characters, shows our leader of good motto, and then coloring on the back. When you talked about contracts, where I am right now is after I sold out the dolls at FAO Schwarz and Nordstrom's, I was approached by a licensing agency out of New York. And they said, "Britt, you basically have the next big thing. We want a part of this. You don't need to start being the shoemaker who makes the shoes anymore. Don't worry about going to China anymore. Let the people that know the business do the business, and you can get royalties from that." So that's where I decided that I was going to be a fully licensed brand. And I went with Stone America Licensing out of New York, and I'm thrilled because I'm not the one, like you said, it's so hard to, you know, figure out China and samples back and forth. I'm not the one boxing up 5,000 dolls anymore, you know. I have Madame Alexander Doll Company, who has been in business for over 90 years manufacturing the dolls.
I have a huge collection of Madame Alexander
dolls. So do I, yeah. And I'm from New York, so it's almost like coming full circle with being at FAO Schwarz and now Madame Alexander. So they're doing the dolls, and they're doing an amazing job. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better partner.
Now, can you talk a little bit to educate our listeners on licensing? Because some people don't understand that as an option when you have a product or you create something as an inventor. You could have gone to market yourself and then kept more of the money than you would if you're licensing it. So now, can you explain what the licensor does?
Sure. When I sold out the dolls of FAO Schwarz and Nordstrom's, and when the t-shirts were doing great, and when I then created the book, I was getting big, and I was getting too big for my own finances. So I thought, okay, either I have to bring in investors or I need to license. Bringing investors to me was not the right call because it would still require me to do everything.
Do all the work, right?
Right, to do everything. Right. And that's still not going to take me far.
Right.
I didn't need money. I needed expertise.
Right.
So I decided to go the licensing route. And what that is that basically what I said, you're letting the shoemaker make the shoes.
But so did you contact 50 licensing companies or they approach you?
After I sold out, like I said, the licensing agency found me. There's a lot of word of mouth. They're out there. There's a lot of shows, you know, trying to find the next big thing.
Were you doing shows? Or you?
They saw the product.
Just on the shelves?
Yeah, on the shelves. Yeah.
So you didn't really have to go out searching?
No. You know, I went to a couple, you know, and researched a little bit, but it wasn't too much work for me. The product was out there and it was selling and they happened to see it.
So then they approached you and you don't have to give us the exact numbers, but the amount that you get per sale is much less than you would have gotten if you were the person.
Yeah, so I went licensing because I would rather 70% of $1 million than 100% of $100,000.
Right.
You know, and so with Madame Alexander, with my publisher, I have a bicycle now licensee out there. With all of their help, the brand can be worldwide and reach so right. many different people. So typically in a licensing agreement, you get anywhere between 5% to 12%.
Right.
12% of the Disney's out there. You know, 5, 6, 7, 8% is kind of what I'm looking at.
Right.
But now my product is on Amazon, Target.com,
right.
Barnes
&
Noble. It's everywhere.
And
so,
then, so now the only thing you're responsible for is just coming up with these creative ideas and different characters and things like
right.
that.
Right. I approve everything. Everything has to go through right. me. You know, you'll never see a Stinky Kid character on a toilet seat cover. It
right.
just doesn't go.
Right.
You know, so I approve everything. I approve all the artwork. I have to come up right with the new concepts. I write all the stories for the books.
And that's truer to your what you wanted to do.
Well,
anyway,
that's
right?
that's what it
right.
all started with. Right. That's my passion. And then I'm in charge of PR. Right. So, you know, who tells the story best? Me.
Right.
So
sure.
I am a huge part of the brand, and they know that. And so I'm constantly out there doing story times. Tomorrow I'll be at Moms in Business Unite, and I'll be on a panel. I get on, you know, a lot of TV shows. You know, I like to go to the schools and talk to the kids. So a lot of that is my responsibility to, you know, get people to buy the books, get people to buy the dolls, the bikes, and so on. So.
That is so awesome.
What a great success story, huh?
Amazing. Yeah, amazing.
It's fun, you know.
Well, you know that you're like not the norm. You know, most
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I mean, your story is a huge success
it
story.
It seems like you make it seem, I mean, not that you're doing this in a bad way, but you're just, it seems like everything kind of fell in line.
Well,
and we get a lot of people in here that are, you know, they're aspiring to be where you're at right now.
Well, let me tell you, I live it, breathe
right.
it.
It's 24/7.
It's 24/7.
Sure.
It's a part of my body.
Right.
The downs are very down.
Right.
But for every down, there's always two highs.
Right.
You know, I had an obstacle yesterday. I shed the tears. I got over it, and
right.
I moved on, and I
moving.
Actually got stronger from it.
Right.
You know, I have a proposal for a very exciting thing out of New York right now that really could put us on the map, but. Again, you like stories. I just go for it. I research on the web. I contact people that people may say don't contact them.
Like what's an example of that?
An example is I wanted to get my T-shirts on a Nickelodeon TV show,
right.
and I was driving in my car to
just have the character wear it.
Yeah, have the character wear it, right, for exposure. And I was driving in my car with going to have some drinks with my girlfriends, and I thought, okay, I am going to get to Nickelodeon. Today. So on the way driving, thank goodness for, you know, your phone, cell phones, I started with 411 and I said, I would like the number to the Nickelodeon studios. I got the number. I got to the receptionist. I kind of told her my story briefly. She grasped it, felt, I don't know, whatever, sorry for me or wanted to help me. And she led me to about four other people until I got to the costume designer of three of the biggest shows and sent her T-shirts the next day. So,
sure.
you know, it's just going for it, and you have to live and breathe it. It's not going to happen
right.
overnight.
If you're just sitting there being creative and waiting for the phone to ring, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And even if you get a deal and you think, oh my God, I'm with Madame
right.
Alexander, it's over. I'm success.
Right.
No,
right.
you got to
still
keep going and going and going. You'll know when you've gotten there, you know, but it's not there yet. So.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. Love it. Love it. Love it. I hope you're staying, right?
I am. Okay. And the book is in Barnes & Noble. So if I could plug it a little bit, if
right.
people could go to Barnes & Noble and buy the book, you can order at any Barnes & Noble and write reviews. Come to my Facebook page. Become a fan. This type of stuff is very word of mouth.
Sure.
When one mom loves it, the next
right.
mom loves it, and the next
all
mom
of a sudden
loves
it's
it.
A
so,
gift
yeah.
for everybody, right?
So, oh, it's great.
And that's the website is stinkykids.com?
Stinkykids.com.
Yep. And the book is terrific. I mean, it's so bright. Look
right.
at the colors.
I know.
It.
It's beautiful.
Mm, wow. Love it, love it, love it. Gosh,
thank
Britt,
you.
Thanks so much for being with us today and sharing your story. Definitely an inspiration to our listeners. And we wish you luck. And I'm sure we'll see a lot more of you. The product is amazing. Gosh, kind of takes me back to those days of having little kids. But
it's been a while.
My mom collects dolls, so she's still a kid at heart. And it is just amazing, the market, too, for dolls, and especially these that are plush and have stories.
Right.
Love it, love it. Great guest. Wow, thanks, Britt. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Being our guest today. Next up, we have another person with inspiration that's actually done something about it. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Nadine Phillips from Comfort Care Senior Services. I'm all tongue-tied now. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thank you, and good morning.
So, Nadine, tell us, how did you get in the business?
Well, wow. I'm still impressed with Brett's story.
I know.
I want to be her in 5 years.
I know. I'm all like tongue-tied and thinking, wow, that's just very inspirational. But your business is also very inspirational in that you're really showing care for folks. Tell us how you got involved.
Well, I'd spent all of my career, I said, over 20 years in television advertising as a sales and marketing rep. And towards the last 5 years, I'd say, I just really wanted to do something of my own. So I kept talking about it. I kept encouraging friends, you know, to let's jump together. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking what it is that I wanted to do. And I have a lot of interests. So I wanted to narrow that down and, you know, including my husband. He said, just do it. I'd come up with another idea. And he'd say, and I said, I have a name. I have an idea. And he'd say, can you just do it already? Mm-hmm. And so in January of 2010, I didn't want to reinvent the wheel. So I thought I'd buy a franchise. Mm-hmm. So I went online and I looked for what you call a franchise specialist. And these are consultants that basically interview you and find out what your goals are, what you like to do, and what you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And so that was a way to really tap into me. I found someone good that, you know, we were totally feeling each other. And she basically interviewed me and pulled out of me what I was truly passionate about.
So what was it?
It was working out. I love working out. I love going to the gym. I love nutrition and health and all that. So she thought that should bring me some Pilates studio, some gyms. And so we're talking. And so this, you know, went on maybe for like 3 or 4 months. And about a month into trying to find out exactly what I wanted my niche to be, she said, you know, whenever you talk about marketing and sales and people, you're so passionate. Have you ever thought of doing something in the senior care business? And I said, not really. But she told me that there were so many new home care agencies that were popping up because we were all living longer in the U.S. and, for that matter, around the world. So I started researching. And I was researching and I said, wow, here's something that I could do. I could use my sales and marketing for my 20 plus years in television advertising. And I can truly care about people as well. And so, you know, I looked at the Pilates studio and I said, you know what? Maybe this isn't the time. So I started researching, 100% home care franchises. And so I actually looked at about maybe 6 of them. And then as I'm narrowing it down, I'm interviewing the franchisors, and I'm narrowing it down, and I came down to 2, and then I went to visit both of their home offices. And so then I went to Michigan. Comfort Care is headquartered in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, and I met the folks there, and they were really who I was looking for. And I said, that's it. So I came home, and I decided I'm going to buy a Comfort Care franchise. And so that's where I am today.
Wow. And you must feel great about it.
I do. Yesterday was 1 year since I opened my doors.
Wow. Congratulations. Thank That's a big you. Achievement.
Yes.
It is. And do you have like a market or a region or zip codes? How does that work?
I do. I have South Atlanta. So my main marketing counties are Clayton County, Coweta Counties, Fayette, and Henry County. So that's mm-hmm. my territory. Anything on the south side.
So what's the services that you provide?
We are non-medical. We are non-medical home care. So we handle anything from bathing to toileting to just basically getting the senior up and getting dressed. So we call that activities of daily living. So anything that you could think of that's in a non-medical scope, we could go into the home and we help that senior have a productive as much as independent lives as we possibly can.
And keeping them in their home.
That's big.
Yeah,
that's
big. It really is. And not taking away their independence per se. We've talked about that before, Lee and I, as far right. as, you know, aging parents. And it's huge having someone to take them to the grocery store, or just take them for errands.
Yes.
And how many hours a day does someone typically use your service, or can it be a few days a week?
It can be a few days a week. We typically do about 3 hours at a time, mm-hmm. and that can be 3 hours a day for 3 times a week. But sometimes people need us for 24 hours, or it just depends. They tell us how many hours they need us for. Okay. What we do with every case that we get, we have an RN on staff, and that RN go into the home and do a thorough assessment. Mm-hmm. And so they come up with a care plan. You know, the family may have an idea of how many hours, but the RN truly work with them and say, you know what, I think, you know, you could benefit from this, this, and this. And then we have certified nursing assistants that we pair together with that family, with that client. And then they go into the home and, you know, give our services.
Is there any advice you could share with listeners who maybe have an elderly loved one that can help them kind of work through this? Because I'm sure the family is contacting you in a crisis mode rather than a, hey, how you doing mode. Like something probably triggered the call to you, I would think. So do you have any advice for the families?
You're exactly right. A lot of times it could be, we have a lot of Alzheimer's clients, mm-hmm. and it could be a new diagnosis that they've got, and the families are all freaked out, and they're like, what are we going to do with mom or dad or aunt or whomever? But there are a lot of options, and as much as I would want someone to use our services, I try to give people the broad scope and show them the options. You know, there's adult daycare, there are nursing homes, there are a lot of senior centers. So you have to really do the research and find out what's best for you, mm-hmm. and see how that fit into not just your lifestyle, but your budget as well.
Sure.
So I try to, you know, sometimes I say, you know, this may work, or try this. And if this doesn't work, then maybe something else will. But I try to be an advice giver rather than just say, use us, because I think in the long run, you know, they'll see that I'm giving them the broad scope. Mm-hmm. of what's available for them, as much as I'd like them to use our services.
Sure.
That's great advice, definitely. And if someone's listening now and they have a parent or a family member or a loved one that could use your service, how can they contact you?
They can go to my website. It's www.southatlanta, spelled out South Atlanta, .comfortcare.com. And okay. ComfortCare is ComfortCare. Or they can call us at 770-461-5002.
And do you have plans on expanding, or you're staying in South Atlanta?
I'm staying in South Atlanta for now. I want to make sure that this is up and, you know, get to where I need to be. And then beyond that, I'll just have to wait and see, like Brett did, and see what happens.
You never know.
But I'm sure this is very rewarding.
It is. And sometimes, you know, I go to visit families and I walk away and I'm crying, you know, I'm crying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you like personal stories. And I always tell them, my grandmother, my father's mother, lived with Alzheimer's for a long time. And if it wasn't for the family structure to help us take care of her, I didn't know what we'd, you know, we would have done. And so when I go, so especially Alzheimer's is very dear to me because I watch my family live through it.
Right.
So whenever I have to go visit a family and they just got the diagnosis, I feel especially close to them because I've walked in their shoes. I've seen my father walk in their shoes, mm-hmm. and my family. So that's very, very dear to me whenever I go to see an Alzheimer's client.
Wow. Great story, Nadine. And what you're doing is wonderful, definitely. And hopefully our listeners, if they have the need to reach out to you, they'll contact you via the website. Great,
right.
Great information.
Yeah, it's important.
Thanks for having
me. You're providing an important service to the community.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks for being our guest today. Last but certainly not last, and they're always top of mind to
That's
me.
That's right. He's the headliner.
The headliner who came all the way from New York. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Yuki. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So, Yuki, we're anxious to hear what Happy Science is. I didn't do a lot of research because I wanted to hear firsthand. Tell us about Happy Science.
Okay. Happy Science. Actually, this is a new spiritual movement, and it's international. We have 12 million followers in 75 countries, and started in Japan 25 years ago,
mm-hmm.
so based on Buddhist teaching. But, you know, Japan is the Buddhist country, basically. But this is not a traditional Buddhism. It's the more modern, practical type of spiritual movement.
So you think Buddhism kind of ran its course?
Yes.
It needed kind of an upgrade?
Actually, for example, the meditation. So right. they are meditator. Right. But traditional meditation style is, you know, take a complex the sitting style.
I don't know how to meditate. You probably meditate, right?
Yeah, actually, I'm a meditation teacher.
Oh, so you teach?
Yeah.
Oh, so go ahead. How would someone go about meditating?
Meditation is actually simple.
Okay.
You know, meditation is find a quiet time, quiet place.
So it has to be quiet.
Has to be quiet.
So that's hard right there. Amy, do you have quiet places?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And I actually meditate.
Really?
Yeah. When this came across my desk from the PR agent, I was like, okay, this is cool. A meditation center in Atlanta. Okay. We can use something like that.
So does it have to be dark?
Doesn't have to be dark.
Okay.
But maybe if it darker, maybe you can quiet your mind easily.
Okay.
However, if you tired and sleepy.
So sleepy and meditating aren't the same thing.
You can stand up and standing and you can meditate.
Really?
Or even walking meditation.
Walking?
Yeah. So because meditation is essentially quiet and quiet your mind and relax.
And so your eyes can be open?
You can keep opening your eyes. But the best way is close your eyes.
So the best way is sitting, closing your eyes?
Sitting, closing your eyes. But you have to take a traditional, you know, complex sitting style.
Okay.
You know, just sitting in the chair. But at one point,
Straight in the back.
And because we're going to take a deep breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So deep breathing is a component of meditating.
Deep breathing is help, you know, calm down your mind.
Now, is there a secret to deep breathing or is it just your normal breathing? You're just doing it deeper.
The deep breathing, you should use stomach muscle.
So do you breathe in through your nose?
And usually breathe in through nose and breathe out through mouth. But it depends. It depends.
Okay. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. I just don't know.
You're asking great questions, but there is a lot to it. In this new center that's opened in Atlanta, you teach meditation there, is that correct?
Actually, yeah. I'm not the Atlanta business person. I'm a stranger here. So, but I'm only the weekend Atlanta resident. Fly from New York City to Atlanta Saturdays and Sunday. Every Sunday, I have free meditation open seminar in our center.
And then, so what happens at one of these seminars?
It's free seminar for everyone.
Right.
So it start from 8:30 p.m.
Oh, at night?
Excuse me. 1:30 p.m.
Okay.
On Piedmont Road, I think the 1893 Piedmont Road,
right.
Northeast, we have a center. So it's first of all, we have basic meditation course for beginners,
right?
About 40 minutes.
Like you, Lee.
Right.
You can always welcome.
In 40 minutes, I can learn how to do this?
Everything. You can learn everything.
One time? I don't have to go like five times?
But you have to practice.
You have to practice.
Yeah, yeah.
Every day.
Every day is ideal.
For 40 minutes? Is that how long it takes?
Oh, if you practice daily meditation at home,
right?
Even 10 minutes, fine.
10 minutes is fine?
10 minutes is fine if you learn the right practice.
Mm-hmm.
So the our job is to spread the daily meditation practice to as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So because that meditation will contribute to the people's peace, inner peace, and that will lead to the harmony.
When I'm doing this meditation, what am I thinking about? Nothing? Like are you
good
telling
question.
Me, think of the ocean or trees?
Good question, yeah. So there are various ways. The traditional meditation, they instruct you usually, they make your head empty. But that is very difficult for us because we have always
a lot of stuff. I'm thinking about what I got to do tomorrow.
Yeah, busy mind. Right. Everybody has a busy mind.
Right.
But instead, they visualize, as you said, visualize nature, beautiful scenery, or future vision, your future success, your self-image.
Right.
So that kind of stuff will very effective to
concentrate. So your method is combining the old way with Buddhism, that principles, with the kind of the new self-help kind of positive improve your life.
Exactly.
So you're combining both.
Exactly. It's very modern, based on traditional method principles,
right.
But, you know, the age the time change. Mm-hmm. And now, especially now, we are in a tough time.
Right.
We need more practical and effective way.
Sure.
So we.
So this helps with stress, right? This relieves stress.
Very good. Yes, always we are suffering from stress.
And high blood pressure, I've heard meditation improves high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Without any medicine.
Even not only that, but also meditation can make you recover from illness.
Oh, as well.
Right.
Amazing. My big question for you, though, is in starting a center in Atlanta from a business perspective, you're in the middle of the Bible Belt. I mean, we're in the South. This is Atlanta.
But is it a business or a nonprofit?
Nonprofit.
Okay.
Right.
But, I mean, how did you choose Atlanta?
Yeah, I was the that's what I thought. Because I was born and raised Christian family in Japan. Mm-hmm.
Did you meditate? Even though you were raised Christian in Japan,
no,
there was no meditation.
Only prayer, daily prayer, but prayer is different from meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned meditation at Happy Science.
Oh, so
right.
Later in life,
right. And I used to work in the Wall Street, in New York City, in financial industry.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So that was very stressful.
Right,
the stressful world.
Sure.
And then I learned to meditate, and then what was your question? Oh, why Atlanta?
Yeah,
why Atlanta? Yeah. So I became the head minister of Happy Science USA. Mm-hmm. So I came here. I came back to New York.
So again. You left your financial.
I left the company, and I became a spiritual, you know, the leader.
Uh-huh.
And then I experienced a spiritual training in Happy Science Japan, and Happy Science Japan sent me to.
So it's based in Japan, Happy Science.
Right, headquarters is in Japan.
So you left New York and traveled to Japan to learn more about
mm-hmm.
it. And they said, you know what, you're our guy in New York. So they sent you back to New York. And then now you're charged with going around the country to start centers?
Right. My responsibility is all over this country, mm-hmm. actually including Canada.
Wow.
So I'm head of North America. And I realized here in Atlanta, there's so many warm and open-minded people, maybe spiritual, very spiritual,
mm-hmm.
because of the Christian tradition.
And you had that history as well, so you can relate to them from that side.
Yeah.
That's a great point, because it is not to be confused with prayer. It is different. So
it's really the quieting of your mind.
Yes. Said. For example, the prayer. Prayer is the act of the talking to the God.
Right.
But meditation is listening to the God. So listening to your inner voice.
Mm.
So, but it's opposite.
So can you give us a quick how to do this little?
while I got you here.
Sunday, every Sunday,
no,
you welcome.
There's no like 1 minute little, here's the high level.
Let me give you
maybe how do you breathe, inhale.
Simple secret. Okay,
straighten the back.
Straighten the back and take a deep breath a few
through
times.
Through my nose.
Through right. your nose.
Out my mouth.
Right.
How long do I hold it in my, hold the breath? What is the problem, Amy? Why are you
slowly.
Giving me a hard time about this?
Yeah. It has to be slow.
Like 10 seconds or 2 seconds?
Good. Yeah. The 10 seconds is good, but if you bless 10 seconds.
I don't want to pass out and hyperventilate.
Lee, I think you need a private session.
A private session.
And we're running out of time,
right,
so I'm going to let you take your deep breath.
Okay, I'm going to take a deep breath. I had the guy here.
I'm laughing.
The head guy.
I think Yuki can probably help you off air.
All right.
But it's probably not all that exciting for our listeners to hear
it
you
is.
Be at one with yourself.
Well, he's giving important instructions. It's about stress relief.
It is. And I do see great value in it. And I do meditate regularly. I see the value in it.
And you're saying 10 minutes a day is good. And in your center, it's on Sundays. What happens the rest of the week?
Rest of the week, we just started, and now we are training,
you're training
meditation,
other
the other teachers, and maybe we'll have a weekday session, and maybe another weekend on Saturday.
But so you have a website that they can go to find out where?
Right, www.happyscience.org.
And then they can go there, and it's no charge.
No charge.
There's no money changing hands here.
No,
this is a non-profit. You're just trying to help
non-profit.
People.
But if you come to our center, we have this kind of the books, the ideas of self-help and positive thinking.
Okay.
So these are principles.
This is going to get you started, Lee, right here. This isn't doesn't
I'm,
look
I'm
like
happy
the,
now.
The Cliff Notes. Lee is really excited about this.
Happy.
I think he always asks for that. Can you give me the down and dirty? I want the Cliff Notes version. You can't hurry up and meditate, Lee.
You can't.
No,
there's no fast meditation.
And also the one point. We are also the publisher, the nonprofit publisher in the United States, and we publish this kind of the book. The title, The Next Great Awakening. The author is the founder of Happy Science,
okay.
Master Okawa, Ryuho Okawa. They're focusing on the spiritual awakening,
okay,
for the new age.
And then so the meditation happens on Sundays with you, 1:30 in the afternoon. And
yes.
Then do you have to RSVP or you just show up there?
Right.
Just show up?
Just show up and everybody will welcome and with very nice refreshment.
Well, there you
Excellent.
Go.
Excellent. Wonderful. Great information.
And the website is happyscience-atlanta.org. And then you can go there and learn more.
Yuki, I think you have a new student in Lee.
I don't know. It sounds pretty good to me.
Lee, every Sunday.
Every
You're
Sunday.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thanks for being our guest today, Yuki. What a show.
Man, I need to go and meditate because there was so much stimulus.
Yeah, there was a lot of stimulus. Great show. Thank you to our listeners. Until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful week.